Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you so much. Wow. It's an honor, really, to be here with you today. Just trying to get my, here we go, okay. How are you guys feeling today? You guys feeling good? Yes? Well, I'm feeling amazing. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are online. Can we welcome our TC family online? Yes. You know, I just want to tell you that we just love you guys. We love you. We are just honored to be able to pastor you guys. You know, we're a team, my husband and I, and we are just getting started here at the church here in Middletown. We love you, and I hope that you feel that every week that you walk in through our doors, that you feel that love, that you feel at home. And if you aren't feeling that, I need you to email us to let us know how we can do better, okay? You know, you guys get a front, you know, you guys get to sit here every Sunday, and you get to hear our pastor. And I get a front row seat as well. And I also get a behind the scenes look at what happens in preparation for a Sunday. And I'm telling you that this man that you see here on Sunday mornings, and not just because he's here, but because this is the God-honest truth, he prays for you. He is a man of faith. He is a man of conviction. He is a man of vision. No pastor ever signed up to pastor church during a pandemic. And though I saw his tears and his frustration, I saw his faith, and I learned strong faith. I learned not to give up when your back was against the wall, because how many of us have felt our backs up against the wall during this pandemic, right? No control. We have no control over what is going to happen, what's happening, right? So I just want to take the time to honor you, to tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate you believing in me enough to allow me to be up here to share the platform with you. It takes a really strong man to be able to share the platform with his wife. And he is one of the best. So can we give it up for your pastor? Thank you. I love you. Last week, Pastor spoke about your setback is really your setup for your greatest comeback, right? He spoke about that. And if you're not believing that today, if you're not believing that this morning, I want you to go back this week, and I want you to replay the video, and I want you to watch it, and then I want you to take some notes. I want the Spirit of God to just begin to speak to you and to begin to challenge you and to begin to encourage you in your faith. That no matter what has happened, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've come from, your comeback is on its way. But you gotta believe it. You have to believe it. There's nothing worse than not believing God at his word. There's nothing worse than not trusting God in what he says, especially when it deals with you. God has a purpose for your life, but many of us are struggling with fear because fear can set us back. How many of us know that? Fear can make us afraid to step out in our purpose and in the plans that God has for us. Right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that fear has that much control over you? I believe that because I've experienced it. So I have titled this message, When Fear Sets You Back. When fear sets you back. When you hear of the word fear, what image comes to mind? What image or memory or thought comes to your mind? I'll give you a second. Maybe you don't even need that. Maybe immediately an image came to mind, right? A thought. I'm here to talk to you today about fear. I'm here to talk to you about how fear is detrimental for you, especially when you are to walk in God's plan and purpose for your life. The enemy wants to keep you bound. He wants to keep you afraid. He wants to keep you so bound and so full of anxiety and so full of fear that you will not move in your purpose. So when I think of fear, I think of bridges. I hate bridges. I hate bridges. As soon as I start crossing, I'm about to cross the Tappan Zee or the George Washington or the Brooklyn Bridge, my heart just starts like beating a mile a minute. Anybody else have a fear of bridges here or heights or something? I'm the only one. Oh, no, okay, all right. Okay, so I have this fear. So immediately as I'm about to cross over, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if one of these cables snaps? Yes, I know, right? It's awful, but I think that. Am I going to be able to save my husband and my kids? Am I going to have enough time to open the door and jump out? What's the distance between the center of the middle of the Hudson River and when am I going to be able to swim from that point to the edge? I know it's crazy, right? But it's true. I start thinking all of these crazy things. I start thinking, oh my gosh. So about a few years ago, I would say about maybe 10 years ago, we were in Florida and we were with family. And we were going to Miami to visit some more family. And we had to cross this bridge. It's called the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. Has anybody ever crossed that bridge? Isn't that like the bridge from hell? Right? It is awful. I don't know which architect or which engineer thought of this, but they did. And there are even signs on the bridge to please get off if there's a hurricane or like strong winds. Okay? So you know it's pretty bad. So anyway, on the way back from Miami, my husband decides to get sick. So all I'm thinking about, I should have been thinking about how am I going to get him better, you know, I hope he's okay, but I wasn't. I was thinking, how am I going to get over this bridge without passing out, without puking, you know? So he was so sick that we were pulling off to the side of the road so that he could, you know, throw up. And I felt so bad for him after I crossed the bridge, not before. So here I am saying, hon, are you sure? Like, can you just get us over the bridge? You know, if you can just get us over the bridge, I'll take over after, you know? Or are you sure, like, you're not feeling, are you faking it? Like, are you making this up? Then it went from that to me crying, sweating, and saying, you hate me, and I hate you, and you really don't love me. It got to that point. And so he's like oblivious, like semi-conscious, you know. My boys are in the back watching DVDs. They're oblivious to what's happening in the front two seats. And I am just panicking. Well, anyway, I had to do it, right? So I go into the right lane because it's a slower lane and I can't see over the side. So I'm like, I'm driving and I just start quoting scripture. I'm like, I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror, that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And I learned something that when God is all you've got, right? God is all you need, right? People are going to let you down. Situations are going to come, bridges. Situations are going to come at you. And you just have to know that God is your sustainer. God is your protector. God is the one who's going to see you through. God is going to see you over that bridge. So it was just two things that I learned. I learned, number one, find a different route to Miami. That was one. Number two is when God is all you have, really God is all you need. You don't need people. You got the word of God. That's all you've got. You got Jesus. That's all you need. That is all you need. So what are you afraid of today? What is that one thing that is keeping you bound? What is that one thing that is keeping you from fulfilling your purpose? From walking in what God has already ordained for you? What is it? Are you afraid of being alone? Fear of not measuring up? Fear of getting sick? Fear of losing a job? Fear of not measuring up, not being enough? What is it that you are afraid of today? What fear is holding you back? I'm sure you could think of something, maybe one or two things. You know, anxiety is part of fear, right? Because when we're anxious, we're afraid of something, right? So I'm here to tell you today that fear is a liar. Fear is a spirit. For those of us who've been, you know, Christians or followers of Christ for a long time, we know that fear is a spirit, and we know that fear is a liar. We know that fear latches itself onto you and won't let go. But you have been given authority. You have authority in the name of Jesus to cast fear back to hell. You know what? We have to call her out. Today we're going to call her out. Today we're going to call out fear. We're going to tell her, you're a liar. You don't belong in my life. I know who I am. I am more than a conqueror. I am a victor. I am a child of the Most High God. I am not afraid to step out in victory, to step out in what God has for me. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. And today you're going to walk out of here, and you're going to walk out of here victorious. You watching online, you're going to walk in victory. You're going to walk in freedom, because today we're kicking fear to the curb. We are not going to live fear bound anymore. I love the story of Gideon. Some of us know Gideon. Gideon was a man in the Bible, very interesting man, living in interesting times. During this time in Gideon's life, the Israelites were under the oppression of the Midianites. What the Midianites would do is they would just attack, and they would try to annihilate the Israelites. Anytime the Israelites would plant a crop, the Midianites would come, steal it, or destroy it. Isn't like that like the enemy? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? This is what was happening in Gideon's life. Gideon was experiencing all of this, and we find Gideon in Judges 6, verses 11 to 12. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. So the first thing I noticed is that he was threshing wheat in a wine press. When you thresh wheat, you're threshing it in a threshing room on a threshing floor. Gideon was hiding out because he was afraid of the Midianites. So he was actually doing it in a wine press. The wine press, there's a hole in the ground, like a circular hole, and then there's a stone that goes over it. That's where he was. He was in that hole threshing the wheat. Now, to thresh wheat, you take a reed or stick, right, and you beat the wheat until all that is left is what is fruitful. You get it? Do you understand? Can you see where we're going here? Right? So all that was Gideon was in this wine press, threshing wheat, beating the wheat, and keeping what was fruitful and discarding what was useless. A wine press is used for a similar thing. You put grapes in the bottom of that wine press, the stone goes over the grapes, and all that is left is what is fruitful. When you read the Word of God, read it and then research. Because it's when you do that that you're going to see that there's meaning in a lot of the Word of God. There is meaning in that wine press. There is meaning in that threshing. Gideon was exactly where he was supposed to be, and he didn't even know it. Right? He was exactly where he was supposed to be, and he didn't even know it. You, my friends, are exactly where you're supposed to be, and you don't even know it. The pressure of this last year for some of us has been really, really tough. For some of us, it's been so incredibly anxious-filled, anxiety-filled. It has been filled with a fear that has crippled many of our nation, many of the world. I'm here to tell you today, church, that God did not create you to live in fear. God did not create you to be walking around afraid to live your life, afraid to walk in freedom because of what is happening around you. God died on the cross, and he was raised again so that you, my friends, could live a life of victory and a life of freedom. Gideon was exactly where he was supposed to be. And you, my friends, are exactly where you're supposed to be. What is God removing from your life? What is God pressing? What is he removing from your life so that your life can be everything God wants it and has ordained for it to be? Because, you know, there is a plan and a purpose for your life, right? Before the creation of the world, he knew you by name. He had your face. He knew exactly when you'd be born. He knew all of that. And he says, I have a plan and a purpose for my daughter, for my son. He knew. And many times we think that man, I'm not worthy enough. I am not good enough. In the next verse, Judges 6:15, God tells Gideon, okay, you, Gideon, are going to be the deliverer of my people. You, Gideon, are going to be the one who's going to rescue the Israelites, my people, from the enemy. And his response is, but Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. Have you ever asked the Lord or questioned God, are you sure? You mean me? You can't mean me because you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what's been done to me. How can I be of any use to you, Father, when I feel so unworthy? Gideon was telling God, you have made a mistake. And I'm afraid to say that many of us feel that God has made a mistake with us. There's no way, God, you can use me. There's no way. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know my thoughts. God knows. God knows. And he loves you. And he cares about you. and he's got a purpose for you, and he's got a plan for your life. But fear has set us back. Fear has crippled us. Fear is trying to rob you of God's plan and purpose for your life. Gideon was actually telling God that, yeah, you made a mistake, God. You have made a mistake. There's no way. I know I have said that. I learned fear at a very, very young age, not because of anything I did, but because of what was done to me. So then I learned that I couldn't trust anybody. And I learned that nowhere was safe. So I was fearful. I wore fear like a coat. It was protective. I felt that fear, and I didn't know that I had fear. I didn't know that I was a woman full of fear until probably I was married already at that point. Many of us know that children are not born with fear. As they grow up, they learn it. Because, right, you see little kids running around, they're like jumping off, you know, trampolines, they're doing flips, right? And we're like, oh my gosh, they're not afraid of anything, you know? But they learn it. So I learned fear. I learned to be afraid. And that taught me, what it taught me was that I had to be really cautious and careful with people. I had to be careful always, which then put me on a defensive all the time. God, thank God that he has set me free from that. I thank God that I don't have to live like that anymore. And I know that you don't have to live like that anymore. And because of the fear, I did things I wasn't proud of. I did things that I'm ashamed of. That if I were to sit with you right now, you would probably be like, what? No way. Not you, Pastor Ruth. But God redeems. Yes. And God takes the broken things and restores them. So I became fearful of rejection. Have you, or are you, experienced that in that right now? Fearful of rejection? Are you afraid of not measuring up? Are you afraid of being imperfect? So you gotta look like you've got it all together, right? You look good. You smell good. You live in the right house. You drive the right car. But if people really saw what was going on the inside, that would probably just unravel your whole facade, right? How about not being worthy enough of God's love, of the love of a friend, of the love of a husband or a wife? God was about to do something in Gideon's life that was going to turn his world upside down. He's about to do something in your life too. You didn't come here by accident. You didn't come here just to do a baptism. You didn't come here just because God said you're going to church today, because there is a message, there is something that I have for you that we need to take care of. I've got business with you. You haven't listened, you haven't heard, so now I'm going to call you out. Now I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So I left out the very end of Judges 6:12. The end of Judges 6:12 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" Man, I am just, when I read that, and I've read this so many times, but that God, that Gideon sees himself one way, right? And God sees him a totally other way. We see each other as flawed. We see each other as broken. We see ourselves as not good enough, right? Not worthy. And God says you are worthy. God says you are redeemed. God says you are whole. God says you are mine. God says mighty warrior. That is who you are. You are a mighty warrior. You are. Yes. Don't clap for me, but clap for the truth that is God's word. You are a mighty warrior. When the enemy comes in to lie to you, when the enemy comes in to whisper lies and defeat, you combat him with, I know who I am and I know to whom I belong. It's so basic. I know, you know, we learned that in Sunday school. We learn it as Christians, you know, it's like 101, basics 101, but yet so many of us going into 20, 30 years of ministry, we're still struggling with our identity in Christ. We're still struggling with who we are. We're still struggling with fear. We're still struggling with that. And God says, enough. Enough. You're 50 years old, Ruth. Well, 51. We'll stay at 50. You're 51 years old. Enough is enough. It's time to walk in freedom. It's time to walk in my truth. God says, if you give me your life, if you surrender it to me, I'm going to make your life the envy of many. I am going to make your life so beautiful that when people look at you, especially those who thought you were down and out, they're going to be like, my, 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 what a mighty God they serve. I want some of that. Let your life be a testimony. Let your life be a light. Yes. Right? Your story is your story. Don't be ashamed of it, because your story may be the story that's going to set someone else free. Amen. Your story may be the story that's going to bring deliverance to the life of someone else. Yes. So don't hide. Don't be afraid to share your truth, your story. God has a plan. You lived your life. Unfortunately, some of us had no choice to go through what we went through. Yes. We had no choice because maybe we were children or our power was taken away in some way, shape, or form. But we have authority in Jesus. We don't have to live like that. We don't have to live in the past. We don't have to live broken. We can live delivered. We can live free. We can live victorious. And that is how God wants us to live. I stopped believing the lies. I stopped believing the lies. I stopped believing everything the enemy was telling me. There was a time where I thought, man, there's just no way. No way. There's no way that God can use me. Years and years ago, I was probably about 19, 20 years old. I was in this room because I got saved in this church. And right where, right here in the middle row somewhere, I was sitting there and an evangelist had come. And it was a really dark time for me. It was a very dark season in my life. Remember, I was a very insecure person. I was a young woman who was very insecure, very broken. And things were coming to a head at that point. And the evangelist came and says, hey, if you want prayer, come up. We're going to pray for you. And so I'm like, I'm not going to go up for prayer. I was in that kind of a mood. But towards the very end, I finally went up. This man laid hands on me, and he said some really profound things. He said, God is going to use your story and your life to do incredible things for his kingdom. He named what I would do, where I would go, and I was full of faith, but full of fear, because I'm like, how, God? How can you use me when I have done what I have done, when I have been where I have been? God said, don't you worry about that. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, this is what the Lord said, I will make everything beautiful in its time. Isn't that beautiful? That God says, I will make it beautiful. I will make your life so beautiful that it will be a testimony of my amazing grace. It'll be a testimony of my deliverance. That is what God says. That is my life verse. I have a mug. I have all of that with that because it's a reminder to me of what God thinks of me. God thinks of me as beautiful. He thinks of you as beautiful. He thinks of me as a mighty warrior. He thinks of you as a mighty warrior. Forget what the enemy says. Believe what the word of God says about you. Now, Gideon's comeback is he had 30,000 men ready for battle. Okay? Gideon was ready to fight. 30,000 men. That still wasn't enough against the army of the Midianites, but he had 30,000 men. And God said, now I need you to go down to 300 men. From 30,000 to 300, okay? The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. Why would God do that? Why would God send all those other men home, right, and only leave him with 300? This is why. Because Gideon was not going to get the glory. God was going to get the glory. It was only God. God will do more with the little, right? He will do more with the little than you can do with much. When you give him what you've got, when you give him, when you surrender that fear, when you surrender guilt, because I feel that there's people here struggling with guilt right now and shame. I'm here to tell you, don't live like that. Surrender it to Jesus. Give it to him. You know, when we become Christians, when we become followers of Jesus, the old has gone, the new has come. That means that stuff that you did, stuff that I did, that I asked him to forgive me for, he's already forgiven me. It's forgotten. You're to start new. You're to start fresh. Guilt has to go. Shame has to go. Fear has to go in the name of Jesus, right? You have been given the authority. The same spirit, right, that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Think about that. That spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives in you. You have authority. You have the power to kick fear to the curb and say, no way am I going to be set back by this anymore. I'm not going to be set back by fear. I'm not going to be set back by guilt, by shame. I'm waiting for my comeback. My comeback is coming, and it's coming strong, and it's coming big, and it's coming mighty. Believe it, church. Believe it. Believe it. So in order to stop fear from setting me back, this is what I had to do. There's five things. I had to surrender my fears, but surrender your fears, your shame, and your brokenness. That's one. Number two, trust God with what you surrender to him. Sometimes I'm like, God, you can have it. God, here. And then I want to take it back. Right? Don't you do that? Right? Don't you do that? You're like, okay, God, I'm giving you this sin. I'm giving you this, you know, this area of my life. And then what do? I'll take it back, Lord. We remind him over and over again. He's like, what are you talking about? Because for us, forgetfulness, right, is a weakness. But when God forgets, that's a strength. His strength is that he forgets our sin and he washes it away. And when he looks at us, he doesn't see that. He sees his son, Jesus. What powerful, powerful truth. The third one is take your eyes off of yourself. Take your eyes off of your sin. Take your eyes off of your past. And focus on who God is. Who he is. Number four, believe that he will do what he said he will do. And number five, walk in your freedom, walk in your purpose. So my point here, guys, is this. You're going to have to let go of some stuff. You're going to have to do some decluttering in order for you to start walking in your purpose. In order for you to start walking in God's plan and purpose for your life, you're going to have to let go of some stuff. That means fear. That means guilt. That means shame. That means your past. Relinquish it. Say, God, it is yours. I'm not carrying anymore. I'm not going to live like this anymore because you, God, are my redeemer. You say I am a mighty warrior. You say I am strong. You say, Heavenly Father, that I am your daughter. I am your son. I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. You received a piece of paper on the way in. I want you to take that piece of paper and I want you to write. If you did not receive a piece of paper, can you raise your hand, please? And if we can get the host team to hand those out. And what we're going to do with that, those pieces of paper, is I don't need you to write your name down on them. What I want you to do is I want you to write down the area of your life that has set you back. What fear was it? Was it shame, something you did? Was it something that was done to you? I want you to write it down, and then I want you to crumble up that piece of paper. And then on the way out, the host team members are going to be holding trash bins. Throw them in there. What we're going to do with those tomorrow as a staff, we're not opening the pieces of paper. We're just going to lay hands on them. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray and believe for your deliverance, for your healing, for restoration. Remember this, church, that God is the one who writes your story. It's not your past. It's not what you've done. It's not who you were. God writes your story. Not the enemy, because he's a liar. But God does. Today, we are Transformation Church is a church that is practical. We like to put into practice. We like to put into practice what we preach, right? So what we're going to do is this week, you're going to be in prayer. You're going to be asking the Lord, if you don't know, or if you know, God, I am going to live free. I need you to help me so that I can live free. So whatever you do, will you trust him today? Will you believe that you are who he says you are? I didn't hear a lot of yes on that one. Yeah? Faith comes from when you speak it, right? It begins to take root in the heart. Will you take your eyes off of yourself and focus on God? On God, who God says you are? Will you believe that he will do what he said he will do? You know, when I look out here, I see, oh my gosh, I see so many beautiful stories and so many beautiful people. And I can see that God is going to do something in you and use your story to do great, great things for him. I know it. Whether it's here, whether it's outside these walls, whether it's in another country, in another state, I don't know. But your story is going to impact millions of people. You have to believe it, church. But first you have to surrender. Surrender it all to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before